This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathiran. Amma ba'du. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah, we know the famous hadith where he said, I have been sent for the perfection of good character. I have been sent for the perfection of good character, to perfect good character, to perfect manners. If you ask me to condense what is the meaning of good character, good manners, in one word, that word is consideration. Consideration for each other, right? Consideration requires that you learn to do that which is not natural. Think about this. Consideration requires that you learn to do that which is not natural for the benefit of others. To give you a very basic example, you have a child is born, is growing up, is still nursing and so on and so forth. What is the first thing that the parents teach the child? They teach the child what we call potty training. Yes? Potty training. Now tell me, to defecate or urinate, when you are feeling like defecating or urinating, is it natural or not natural? Natural. Every cow does it, every dog does it. So why do you insist that your child must learn to hold it until he reaches the place which is designated for that purpose? Right? Potty training is what? Potty training is not to say never defecate, never urinate. No, of course you have to do it. It's a natural. Do it in the right place, yes? So, doing something in the right place means that you have to hold in your natural urges. I feel like doing something, but this is not the right place for that. The same thing when it is done in the right place is beautiful, it is relieving, it is the essence of good character and good manners. The very same thing done in the wrong place, the thing has not changed. The location has changed. So, for example, when we are praying, if somebody's phone rings, how do you feel? Say, mashallah, fantastic. That ringtone I don't have. So, I'm going to ask this brother. Once he finishes, brother, what ringtone? Can you send me that ringtone, please? And then I will give you an instruction. Everybody, please, for this last, don't take me seriously, but last 4 rakat, turn your phones on to full volume and each one time it so that every 3 minutes, the phone will sound the latest ringtone and download all the beautiful ringtones. And while the Hafiz is reciting, maybe it's a test of his hips also. While he's reciting, every 3 minutes, a ringtone goes off. Nice, no? Why are you shaking your head? Why is it not nice? A phone has a ringtone, yes? So what's wrong if the phone has a ringtone? What is wrong? Right place. There is a place for the ringtone. Yes? So what is the place for a child which is behaving like a demented simian? A demented simian is Iglesia Fusaha for mad monkey. Tell me. You got a whole bunch of kids screaming their guts out, and you've got presumably their parents. I don't know. Maybe I was asked, Sheikh, do you rent out this space for anyone to come and leave their kids here to scream and go home We have nothing to do. None of those kids belong to any of us here. Is that true? So how do you, as a parent, you know your kid is screaming out there, and you as a parent are peacefully praying, you don't care that everybody else's salah is ruined, but then if somebody's phone rings, you got a problem. Does it make sense? Now, people give me, Sheikh, you are so, you know, difficult. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have, you know, the hadith, used to have Hasan radiallahu anhu. He came, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he came, he was almost falling down. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the mimbar, he came down, he picked up the child. Another time, he did not get up from the sujood. And they found that he was riding, the grandson was riding on his grandfather, you know, blessed grandfather, blessed grandson, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to be in their company one day, inshallah. Let me ask you something. Go do that, research that hadith some more. Does it say anywhere that Hasan radiallahu anhu was screaming and running all over the masjid? Little child happened to come. How many times did this happen? Another one. Check in the books of hadith. Please check and see how many times did this happen. One time. He escaped probably said the Fatima radiallahu anha's, control. And he came into the masjid. His grandfather is there. He went to the grandfather. Was he screaming? Did he disturb anybody's salah? Believe me, if your little kid comes in when I am praying and rides on my shoulders, I will consider that to be an honor. I got no problem. Today, I was in the afternoon. I like to ride on for a little while. And there were some kids here were playing. Then, you know, one of the brothers, he said, I'm sorry, Sheikh. I said, nobody disturbed me. Me, you can put me under a train, I'll sleep. Makes no difference to me. Let them run around. I have no problem. I am talking only about when people are praying. See, the thing, I'll tell you something. Should you bring children to the masjid? Yes or no? Yes. Why? To teach them. If you bring children to the masjid and when salah is going on, if those kids are running havoc there and you say nothing to them, what are you really teaching them? Salah is not important. Akhlaq is not important. Being considerate of other people is not important. Feel free to disturb and ruin everybody's salah. This is what you're I know you won't say that to them in so many words, but children listen with their eyes, not with their ears. They don't care what you say until they see what you do. So when they are doing all this and you keep silent, the message they are getting is, it's fine, salah is not important. Is this what you want to teach them? So, if you bring your children, most welcome, bring your children, keep them next to you, teach them how to pray, teach them how to be silent, teach them what to do. If you think the child is too small for that, don't bring them. Don't bring them. If you think you can't control them, don't bring them. But if you bring them, let the child stand next to you in the salah. Once salah is over, no problem. Go and play and make noise and so on. Alhamdulillah. If a child of this age is not meant to make noise, will I make noise? No. Let him scream, no problem. As much as he wants. But at the time of salah, next to you. You know, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, he says, he is going to Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, where he is learning from Rabi'atul Rai rahmatullah alayh. He says, my mother used to dress me up in the morning to go for salah. And this is Salatul Fajr. Salatul Fajr. Mother would dress him up. She would tie a turban on his head. And this is Malik, he is 5 years old. She would take him to the masjid because she can't leave a 5 year old child to go by himself. She would take him to the masjid, leave him there. After Salatul Fajr, she would go home. Imam Malik would stay in the Imam then. Now he's a 5 year old kid with a turban on his head. He is sitting there, he is studying, he is learning, he is doing all that all the way until Salatul Dhuhr. Then the mother comes at Salatul Dhuhr, she prays Dhuhr and she takes him home to have some food. 5 year old kid.
He says, never in my life did I ever go to the masjid without a turban on my head. Why? What is the need for a 5-year-old child to wear a turban on his head? This is the adab, this is the akhlaq, this is the izzah for the muallim, izzah for the ilm, izzah for the maqam, for the place of the ilm, which is the masjid. Right? Did Imam Malik also play? Of course he played. He was a kid, he was a small kid, he didn't want to play. Why not? But did he play in the masjid?
No.
Imam Shafi Rahmatullah, student of Imam Malik. He is sent by his mother, he is around 6 years old. Now Imam Malik had a system where he would give dars of hadith from Asr to Maghrib, which is a long time. Outside in the courtyard of the masjid, Nabawi Sharif, because Imam Malik was the Imam of Masjid Nabawi. And then after Maghrib, he would give dars inside. So he is sitting there in his dars and he sees this little kid who comes and sits right in front of him. And his little kid is, with his finger, he is doodling in the sand. It's all sand floor, there's no carpet and so on. So this kid is, you know, scribbling in the sand. Now Imam Malik notices this, he does not like it, but he keeps quiet. Whole dars finished, maybe hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Then they pray Maghrib. And after Maghrib, as they are settling down, this kid comes, he says, Salam, he says, Walaikum Salam. He says, I have come from so and so to study under you. So please accept me as your student. Imam Malik said, sorry, go. I don't like you. I will not accept you. So the kid starts crying. He said, why, what did I do? He said, you are not serious. Imagine, 6-year-old kid. He's telling you, you're not serious. He said, Sheikh, please, what did I do? He said, I saw in that hole that you were playing in the sand. This 6-year-old kid says, Sheikh, I was not playing in the sand. I was memorizing your dars. I was memorizing your dars. Hamari Urdu mein bolte hain, humko hi goli deta hai. Bolte nahin. Imam Malik says, come on, man, give me a break. You are trying to fool me. You memorizing my dars? He said, yes. He said, okay, what did I say? And this 6-year-old kid, alhamdulillah, starts and 2 hours, the entire dars of Imam Malik, this kid repeats verbatim. Allah had given him amazing memory. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah used to say that I have to cover one page of the book when I'm reading, otherwise it imprints on my mind. Allah gave him a memory like this, right? So he repeated the entire dars. He heard it only one time. Imam Malik hugged him, he kissed him, he accepted him as his student. And Imam Shafi Rahmatullah was a student of Imam Malik Rahmatullah. I am telling you about little kids who went to the masjid to study and how they studied. This is our standard. This is our deen. These are our Salafus Salihin. Right? Our aslaf, our nasl does not come from blood. It comes from ilm. From knowledge. These are our ancestors. Alhamdulillah. My brothers and sisters, I seriously, I tell you, I love this masjid. I love all of you, mashallah. May Allah bless you. So what I am saying to you is for your benefit. For the benefit of your children. Please bring them to the masjid. But train them how to be in the masjid. It's not a matter of saying, you know, they have a lot of energy. Most welcome, please. Let them have the energy. When they come outside, let them play. Even inside the masjid, let them pray when there is no time for salah. When the time for salah starts, when the adhan is called, those children must be inside, sitting next to you and learning how to behave in the masjid. And if you have some kids who you can't control or not like that, do not bring them to the masjid. Please. Because remember, if you are doing something or your children are doing something which is disturbing the salah of other people, that sin is on your head. Because of you, it is happening. Their salah is getting ruined. People come here to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If my child is doing something just like my phone, if my phone is ringing, it's my responsibility. Al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah said, break your salah, turn the phone off. And rejoin the salah and make up the salah. But do not let your phone ring to disturb other people. Right? So please, let us be serious with this. It's all about akhlaq. So let us not have children behaving like that. Really, please, Jazakallah khair for listening to me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to correct ourselves and to learn the best akhlaq and to be people who are actually supposed to be role models for the world, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.